This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Clouds to the left, dark clouds to the right, here I am stuck in the middle.
Hi, I'm Tracy.
And I'm Susan.
And this is the club for women in the middle.
You know, the ones with little kids and big kids and aging parents and work and hormones and money and a to-do list that breeds overnight.
Welcome to the Sandwich Club.
Well, hello, Susan. How are you?
Tracy, I am very well. Thank you very much.
That's good. So what's in your sandwich today?
So have you seen the trend for the strawberry and whipped cream sandwich?
What?
They are divine. It's a Japanese thing. But anyway, what is in my sandwich?
Yes.
Is a big bowl of whipped cream.
Oh, very nice. Do you know that you love that whipped cream?
I love whipped cream. I'll tell you why that's in there.
Uh-huh.
So my grandmother, who we've talked about before, who loved a cream bun, also loved whipped cream. So when we have a Christmas function or a family function, there's always a big bowl of whipped cream put in the middle of the table in honour of Nellie.
Yeah.
And so what I'm thinking about is those kind of partly family traditions, which we talked a little bit about when we talked about what, you know, opened my mouth and my mother came out.
Yeah.
But also the traditions and the rituals that we have as individuals, but also those family things that are bigger than where someone sits at the table or, you know, those things we've talked about in the past.
Yeah.
So I thought it might be fun to talk about, you know, you will have grown up with really different things in South Africa to here.
Yeah.
So what those rituals are beyond the bowl of whipped cream.
Yes. Mm, that sounds really good. So I wonder if this is quite similar to here, because I think it's quite an English thing. So we used to, for Christmas, there was always one of those puddings that got boiled or baked and
A spotted dick.
One of those, yes.
I'm so childish, I can't help it.
I know.
Yeah, a Christmas plum pudding.
A plum pudding. Yeah. And they'd put little 5 cents coins in it. Okay, so it's something familiar with lots of custard and cream, always cream.
I do
love cream as well.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the lucky person would get it or break a tooth. So I don't know if they were lucky or not, because us kids would always forget that it was there.
Yeah.
But it was a big deal to kind of, and my granny used to put a whole bunch in, not just one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. So there was a few, so probably sharing it out so everyone had a chance. So we did that for Christmas, and I've always, we haven't continued it.
Mm.
I always think, oh, we should do that. And then I always think, oh, all I need is for one of the grandchildren to choke on it or something.
Yeah.
I'll be that meemaw.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've never done that. But are there any things that you still do apart from the cream, the bowl of cream?
So that's kind of one of the things.
Yeah.
And we have, on that side of the family, we have a family Christmas that somebody hosts every year.
Okay,
and it is very much about the host. This year it's me.
Yeah.
The host does the meat and everyone else brings the
everything
the else
and everything.
And whatever. And I think I mentioned it a few weeks ago about my cousin had organised all those kind of takeaway containers so everyone could take away the leftovers, which I thought was such a brilliant idea.
Yeah, because you don't eat leftovers.
Yeah, so, I'm definitely going to have to do that.
Yeah, clear.
And slightly off topic, I also bought on Temu. I'm so ashamed. I bought on Temu about 50 pairs of tongs weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
So that every person, because you know how you end up, the spoons end up in the wrong thing and there's never enough serving spoons.
Yes.
And I went to this wedding and it was like it's apparently a thing. It's very millennial.
Okay.
This table buffet. So each table has its own like kind of little smorgasbord on it. So you're not having to get up and down.
Yes.
You've got it in front of you.
Right in front of you.
And each person's given a plate and a little pair of tongs. So you can just
go.
And I just thought that was such a brilliant idea.
That's clever.
Yeah, that's
it's a new tradition maybe.
Yeah, new tradition. So I went and got these 50 pairs for, you know, a dollar a pair or something.
You always got to cross your fingers when it's coming because it might arrive there and it's mini ones or something.
Yeah, so they're about kind of pencil length, but enough. And because they're cheap enough that if they broke or they end up accidentally in the rubbish, it's not the end of the world.
Just hit Temu again.
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of cool. And I thought that could be quite a nice tradition.
Yes.
Yeah, and obviously there's the Thanksgiving I do every year and the ladies' Christmas and midwinter Christmas and whatever. But we also have, I think as human beings, you have your little rituals of your own. So when I started drinking filter coffee, which was, you know, 25 years or so ago, and I first discovered the plunger that was, you know, life-changing, the cafetiere that you could buy at a store called Living and Giving, which was in Hamilton. It sold all lots of fancy things. It became, I think it's had a few iterations now, but it was Living and Giving. And they were kind of the first place to do those glass, the glass cafetiere with the metal outside, you know, where your coffee got cold every time.
Yeah.
And within 6 months, the thing had either smashed or whatever. Yes. But, you know, it was the thing of the
time. We had one of those in South Africa as well.
Yeah. So I had one of those and I would make my coffee every morning. Yeah. And as my children grew up, they knew that the coffee had to be made.
Nice.
And once I had my coffee in front of me, then, you know, we could engage.
Yes, so they're like, give her the coffee quickly.
Give her the coffee, So I think that's kind of been a tradition. And I really love it when I hear one of the kids say, oh, we should do that thing because we always did that thing. And
That's
they might not remember that we only did it a handful of times, but it had it kind of becomes those little traditions.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm thinking about that now for my own granddaughter. Like, what are those traditions? So without wanting to harp on too much about my father's funeral, it transpired that he took, all four grandchildren spoke at it, right?
Wow.
It transpired that he used to take each of them out for hot chocolate.
Oh, wow.
And they would go to Bunnings and there was a cafe there he was the DIY guy, right?
Yeah.
So they
getting
his brackets, getting his brackets, and we talked about those.
Yeah.
So they would go to Bunnings and get a hot chocolate, and it was this whole ritual around going to Bunnings and getting the brackets, getting the hot chocolate, telling the kid that he was with, don't tell Nana. She's not allowed to know because, you know, she'll growl that I'm filling you up with sugar.
Yeah.
And it was this lovely little tradition.
Yes.
And so they all, without knowing, because they hadn't talked beforehand, all talked about this tradition.
That's
of,
awesome.
Which I thought was so lovely.
So lovely.
So, yeah, I'm thinking, what's going to be that thing with my granddaughter that I can do that will drive her mother crazy?
Yeah.
No, that will, you know, that will be something that's just ours, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
So I love those ideas of those traditions and the rituals that you can build into your life without even realizing
it. So I remember my grandpa, and it used to drive my granny absolutely crazy. So we'd have in South Africa, it's a very big thing to have a Sunday roast every Sunday. So whenever we had chicken, he would carve it, and he had a special carving knife set and what have you. I actually found one when I came here and I bought it because it made me think of him. But it came with the thing that sharpens the knife.
Yep.
So it was this whole ritual of him kind of making that noise and we'd all wait because we were probably starving. And then he'd cut it up and then he'd get this naughty grin on his face and go, airmail or landmail. And we knew that he was going to throw it onto our plate. And of course my granny would say, Leonard, that is not acceptable. You cannot throw food around. And that's what was the best part about it is that he'd go, email, we all went, email! And then this, you know, it flickered onto your plate. And that is such a lovely memory of him, you know? And then we also used to, probably on Christmas Day, we would go and swim because it's very hot in Africa on Christmas. It normally always rained in Durban, though. But we would go up in the Transvaal, we would swim. And he loved his beer, and he'd flick we would flick the top of the lid into the pool, and then he would dive in and fetch me. Or get us to, eventually, as we got older, we would dive in and get. So it was a silly little thing, but it was one of those things that happened all the time.
Yeah,
So it was those kind of things. So in terms of a private one, I think.
Do you want to go there?
Yeah, I've spoken about my little tradition, my little thing to whenever I wash the car, do my little private disco. But I there's certain things that I really love, and I love having time where I'm absolutely totally alone. So I used to go to Hamilton Gardens, but now I'm a little bit stingy to pay $20 just to go and sit somewhere.
Oh, yeah, because you don't live in Hamilton.
No. Yeah. So I used to go and just sit there quiet and watch people as they came in, and I take my journal and I just sit and have a quiet time in that. And I love doing that. Mm. So I haven't quite found a place that was as, I don't know, quite inspirational, and you still see people a little bit, but it was quite private.
Mm.
So I used to go and sit in the English Garden, which had a little tuck away.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So,
did you do that on a regular basis?
Yeah.
So it was a real ritual of doing that.
Yeah, and especially in the beginning, I think when you first landed here, there's so much that's unfamiliar.
Mm.
And so I kind of got into a habit of doing that. And it was just my chance to kind of think by myself of, okay, so what's going on? What's happening? And it's just a moment just with myself, not and with no one around and no one knowing where I was. That was part of it, is I've run away.
Mm.
No one can find me.
Do you have any things that you do kind of on the regular now that are those little rituals that kind of make life feel just that little bit smoother?
I'll think of something. I can't think of anything off the top of my head now. Do you? What do you do?
Well, certainly the, you know, having coffee in the morning thing.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of do about every couple of months I'll do it, pull everything out of my wardrobe and look at all my clothes. And it's almost like playing in my own wardrobe in a way, but I do that. I still spring clean like my mother did. So, you know, around September, October, there's that ritual.
Yes.
Go to Bunnings and get the prickle spray and prickle spray the lawn.
All right.
Because you don't want anyone getting a prickle.
Yes.
And, you know, taking curtains down and washing them and those kind of deep cleaning jobs, which there's such comfort in that familiar of doing those things, I think, you know.
And I think that's why we do those things, eh? I'm not great at keeping traditions. And I think it's because I'm a very forward-looking person.
Mm.
So, and I've really tried to bring those in. So my granddaughter just turned 3. In fact, all of them are turning 1, 2, 3 this year.
Mm.
And I suddenly went, I want to actually write a letter every birthday. And kind of like, this is the song that's in the Top of the Pops. This is what's happening in the world at the moment. These are some of the things I love about you. And I thought I'd try and print some photos of, because I do a lot of selfies with her.
Yeah.
And put one or two key things in and say, this is what we did. We did some baking the other day, and just go and just say, this is what I love about you and this is what I hope for you in the future.
Mm.
And then maybe do that every year, because I thought I wouldn't be able to do it every month. I'm not good at keeping traditions.
Mm.
And it's sad because I have all intentions.
Your tradition intent.
Yes. Yes, I intend to. And then every year I make a new one.
The road to hell.
Yeah, paved with good intentions. Yep, that's me.
I did see something because I've, you know, become immersed in all these parenting videos now.
Yes.
In fact, I think the algorithm thinks I'm a new mother because I keep getting stuff. But about sending an email to your child. So setting up an email address and then emailing them. Because then you can hand them the email address and, you know, zero waste.
Yeah, clever.
I mean, whether email will still be a thing in 18 years, though, that's the only thing.
I want to do it in my handwriting.
Oh, nice.
I think that's the thing. Because we've lost the art of getting a written snail mail letter. I really would just love to get a letter. I used to love letters.
Yeah, yeah.
But I haven't got it. I mean, the only letters I get is you owe money or pay this or whatever.
Yeah.
Your dogs need to be tagged again or whatever. So there's nothing that comes to you that's just a personal, hey, how are you doing?
So funny you say that about letters. So I can't remember if I shared on this or not that I was contacted by a journalist from the New Zealand Herald. They were looking for people who had pen friends. And as you know, I visited my pen friend. So last week I was interviewed by the New Zealand Herald.
Wow.
And today Julie was contacted in Colorado and interviewed and will be in the New Zealand Herald in a week or so talking about that whole thing around letters. And the journalist said to me, look, do you have any of the letters? And I said, oh, yeah, I've kept loads from over the years. Because, again, although my house looked minimalist, I have these secreted things.
Oh.
So I've got a hat box that was my grandmother's hat box, and it's filled with cards and letters and autograph books.
Wow.
And things. And I haven't had that box out in a very long time, other than, you know, just literally lifting the lid and slipping something in. So on Sunday night, I got a message from her saying, don't forget, you know, I'm wanting those photos. So I pulled out this hat box and opened it. And in there is all the letters that I had written to my family when I was travelling overseas, but also that they had written to me. So I've got an entire kind of record of all of this time when I was young. School reports, and it's not huge, you know, it's hat box size.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it did
that's
kind of
really
remind
special.
Me. You just don't, apart from Julie, who still does send a snail mail letter every year.
Oh,
there's
awesome.
Not very many people that write actual letters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a tradition I must try.
Yeah.
Try and do.
I mean,
that's part of it is for my granddaughters.
Yeah, yeah.
To be able to put things. Because often you think things about them, but they're too young to understand.
Yeah, yeah, that's
right. And their little characters are starting to come out. And I want to remember those things because I started with Ivan, the first one. I had one of those books this is when you got your first tooth and all that type of stuff. Yeah. And I think by the time he was one, I'd already forgotten about it, apart from keeping all his teeth, which my kids still freak out about. But I just wasn't good about things like that.
Right.
So those things are hard, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, so my sister travels a lot, been all around the world many times, and always sends a postcard to the kids. Lovely. So I've got all of those. Yes. I've kept, and it's a sizable pile now.
Yeah.
But the postcards that she would send from all over the place, yes, Antarctica some quite extraordinary stories about even getting them to a post box, yes, to get to the kids. Wow. So they've got this lovely pile of postcards. And so I've tried to do that, yes, with my kids if I'm away, send a postcard.
Cool.
And I went when I used to go to Wellington regularly for work, I would go to Ico, a store in Cuba Street, and buy these little mini animals. So like these tiny little rubber animals, which have now kind of been replaced by 3D printing, really.
Right.
But these tiny little mini ones, and they would know. Every time I went to Wellington, I would bring them back.
Yes.
So they've both got this collection.
Oh, wow.
And even though there's maybe 30 little rubber animals in the collection, it's still you can hold it in your hands. Yeah, it doesn't take that much room. But I do like those kind of expectations, like I talked about a few weeks ago about getting the cream bun the next morning, after the
dance.
Because I think those kind of, those little rituals and family traditions, that fabric is really lovely.
Yes. Oh, actually, we have a ritual that on somebody's birthday, they get the option of going out, but everyone gets to have their favourite meal. So we have and I suppose it is a little bit of a tradition that's stuck, is on their birthday, they get to choose whatever meal they want to eat.
Oh, yeah.
And I make it for them because they enjoy my cooking. And, and that's great. And we all get together. So we've actually been quite good in New Zealand. I think it's because we don't have extended family of Christmas time all coming together. And actually, if I think about it, the girls, their mums and family are invited too. So it's quite a big gathering.
Mm.
And so that's actually been quite good because that's been happening now since each of them have got married. So see, there are some traditions that sneak in that you don't actually even think of that you're doing or intend to. They actually maybe more accidental.
Yeah, yeah. So I think, there's tradition and there's ritual and there's habit, right? So we have in a couple of other episodes also talked about building those family traditions. But, there's some also, the habits that you do every day that you don't think about.
Yes.
Like, I watched a funny video the other day, these three friends that showed each other how they were dressed, but how they dried themselves.
Right.
And it was really amazing.
Really
like, everybody dries themselves
every day.
The same way. Everyone puts their shoe, who is the weirdo that puts on one sock, then one shoe, then one sock, then one shoe?
Oh, yeah.
But there are people that do that.
Wow.
And then others, they put their socks on and then their shoes. So we all, it's so weird how we have these little habits, these quirks of our own.
Yeah.
You know?
I suppose that we have little rituals. So I wear makeup. So every night I've got to go through the whole thing of cleansing and getting everything off.
Yeah,
and,
See, I could not be arsed with that whole, if I could do it in the shower, but the standing at this cleanse, tone, moisturise malarkey, why I've got such terrible skin. I couldn't be doing it.
I remember growing up and watching my mom, and I loved watching her. She would sit at her little dressing thing with a beautiful mirror with those two side mirrors.
Oh, yeah.
And then she would put that cold white cream all over
Pond's
her face.
Cold cream.
Yes, and then she'd rub it all off with kind of, I don't know what it was, I suppose, cotton wool.
Yeah.
And then she'd do another layer and then tone. And I loved watching her do that. And I remember thinking, I can't wait till I'm big and I can have makeup and put it on and take it off. And it was lovely to watch her do that.
How did they have the time for those things?
I know, right? Because she worked. Yeah, but faithfully. You have to, otherwise your skin does not, it's not happy after a week of ignoring it, going to bed with it.
So it's true.
Yeah, and I put a makeup every day, except the weekends. I actually go naked faced.
Mm.
Yeah, but it's such a habit now. I brush my teeth, put my makeup on, and off I go.
Yeah. So, those little rituals. And, and I can remember when Neve was a baby and she wasn't a very good sleeper. In fact, she was a terrible sleeper.
Maybe that's where you got into the habit.
Yeah, probably. Hallelujah that her daughter's not like that.
Oh, really?
I remember this nurse saying to me, Neve was about 2 or 3 weeks old or something, which when you look back, how ridiculous trying to get a three-week-old baby in a routine.
Like, no.
But anyway, that was what they
reckon you had to do. Yeah, they did teach you that.
I never did, but that was what they reckon we should do. She said, oh, no, children need routine. Children are better in routine.
Right.
And what I think that's true, but I actually think adults are as well.
Yes.
I think we all kind of like that.
Yes.
That certainty.
I was going to say, it's probably the only certainty we have these days.
Yeah,
these things kind of happened. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, so there's those little traditions of, you know, what time you cook the dinner or what supermarket you go to or, you know.
I think moving here really interrupted that because we moved here in the November and what I didn't realise is how late it goes dark here.
Ah,
so
do you not have daylight saving in South Africa?
No.
Ah.
Yeah, so, and it's, I mean, Durban was quite light, but nothing like here. Mm. So it would, the kids would be like, are we going to eat supper tonight? And I'm like, yeah, I'll do it just now. And then I suddenly look, with just now, you know, I just now means whenever.
Yeah.
And I suddenly look, it's 9 o'clock. And I thought, oh my goodness, no wonder they're starving. I was like, I'm hungry too. And then we're eating at 9 o'clock and expecting to go to bed. So that really, that threw me. So,
I bet.
Yeah. Messes up your whole, the way you do things and what have you. Yeah.
Yeah, because children like those routines of, what's in their morning tea, what's in their lunch, what's for dinner.
Yeah.
I can remember the routine of, you know, mum always having afternoon tea ready for us after school.
Okay.
And, you know, when you get older, you're like, really, really? And then my kids would come home, you know, hangry at 3:30. Yeah. Oh, that's why. It wasn't so much about the part of it was probably an opportunity. It is an opportunity to sit down and say, how was your day?
Yeah.
But it's also because a child is vile when they don't have food.
Absolutely.
So, giving a kid something to eat.
Yeah.
In fact, when we lived in the country, they were home in 5 minutes. But once I started working in town and it might be longer, I made sure I had food, even if it was just muesli bars or something.
Yes.
And my daughter said to me the other day, oh, I've got muesli bars in the car. I've always got muesli bars in the car. You taught me that.
Yeah.
I do, because you always want to have those
something
things.
Something to eat,
But I quite like that some of those things have, you know, crossed over into her life. You know?
That is great. I watch my daughter-in-law and she's so disappointed. Well, one is quite natural and so she kind of goes she responds to how the baby needs things. And then the one is she's got really patterns of how everything goes. I think when she comes over and I've had to look after the kids, she gives me this list of things to do, which is great because then I know what to do.
Yeah.
And then the other one, I keep going, oh, what am I supposed to do? And if I fed her, when should I feed her? Mm-hmm. So I suppose it's probably more for the grannies that you have these routines and things of how to do when they get looked after by someone else. Because they're both very happy little chappies. I don't not one has been better off than the other.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's for mommy's sanity. Maybe.
Well, and I suspect that the routines that happened back in our previous generation was that everyone knew that the husband went off at, 8 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. The wife would have been up making his lunch, making his breakfast, sending him on his way, doing and you had all the chores. You know, didn't even get automatic washing machine until I was an adult.
Wow.
You know, she had she had a Ringer washing machine. In fact, a kind of funny story about my father, one I didn't share last week. Mum was always overflowing the washing machine and we were in a two-storied house. But rather than figuring a way for the water to just be directly plumbed outside, my father decided that the best thing to do was to put something in the ceiling cavity that would catch the water every time she overflowed it. So he got a shower tray, plugged up the hole and inserted that in the ceiling cavity underneath the washing machine. What that water's like now, it's probably like pond-like 20 years later.
Oh, my gosh.
That was his solution for dealing with the leak.
That is funny.
She thought it was clever. But,
So,
I mean, you know, there was the washing to be done and then there was, you know, a meal to be cooked and vegetables to be peeled and all of that
stuff.
So you
probably would have had to have a routine.
So those routines have really changed, eh? Like,
totally.
I couldn't tell you the last time I peeled a pot of vegetables.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, I made soup the other day and I always make it from scratch. Yeah. But otherwise,
To peel and chop things and put them on the stove. Yeah. I mean, they might get a scrub if they're lucky.
But
I don't do those kind of traditional type things.
Yeah, no, it's quite different now. And I think that happens every generation. We lose things and then we add things.
Yeah.
And I think food was it was whole food a few generations ago. Where now we've got all these convenient things, which I don't think is good for us. I think I'm going back to having whole foods. Mm. So even tins of tomato, every now and then, I always keep some, but I actually prefer, and it does definitely taste different if you make mince with tomatoes.
Yeah, for sure.
And then, that's another little tradition that, or a thing that I've copied. My granny did it and my mum did it, is you put your tomatoes in a bowl and you put hot water over them.
Oh, you just split the
skin?
You
crisscross them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still do that. And that way my granny did it and I do that.
I'm a tin tomato person.
Yeah.
And
it's easy.
I'm all good with a packet flavouring as well.
Oh, really?
I'm fine with that. I mean, lots of things, but that's the simpler, the better.
Yes.
So I watch MasterChef and then just get annoyed at all the ridiculous things that they say and cook and talk about elements and heroes of the dish and, balancing flavour, whatever.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But actually, I'm more than happy to go buy the, mixed spice that you make nachos with, mix.
Okay.
I'm not going to be faffing around, you know.
Yeah. There's some things, I think, for my hurry, like the crock pot, I'll put a piece of frozen meat, a tin of beans, a tin of tomato, and some of those nacho stuff, and then I just leave it to do its own thing. So that's when I'd put it in. But I love cooking, and so, I've always cooked as much as possible with everything fresh and whole and whatever.
Yeah, I do too. And I have to say, I used to get up for Thanksgiving. I'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to put the meat in, and then baste it all day.
Oh.
I don't do that. I don't get up at 4 o'clock anymore. That's one thing I said no to, like we talked about last week.
Yes.
I'll start at, say, 8 o'clock.
Right.
And actually, has that 4 hours made a difference? Not
probably
really.
Not.
The last one I did, I actually put on at midnight and on really slow, and that was fine as well.
Okay.
So, that's that kind of, it's still the tradition of doing the slow-cooked meat.
Yeah.
But I don't break my back to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to put it on anymore I used to.
Do you do all the hot veggies and what have you with your Christmas dinner?
No. Roast potatoes and sometimes.
Gotta have roast potatoes.
But I can do I had a roast for myself the other night with no meat because I don't really eat meat.
Yeah.
But I had the roast vegetables, the Yorkshire pudding, the gravy.
Oh, the Yorkshire
pudding.
Just
a big plate of all of that.
I tried it once and it didn't go well, so I've never tried again.
It's the best.
Oh, let's try it again. I think I'm more grown up now. I think I'll be able to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
I love all those little rituals and traditions. It's so nice.
I think, and like you say, the kids will remember things that we just took for granted that we don't even realize we're doing, and I think that's really special.
Cool.
Yeah, so we get our listeners to maybe put some comments in our Instagram or Facebook to say what their rituals
are. What their ritual are, and what are the weird ones.
I'd love to hear that.
Share if you dare.
Share if you dare. Oh, good chat.
See you next week.
See you next week. Cheers.
Hey, thanks for joining us today.
We're stoked if something in this episode sounded like you.
Come and find us on Instagram and tell us your moment. We read every message at the Sandwich Club Pod.
You can listen to the Sandwich Club wherever you get your podcast, here at Free FM or Apple, Spotify, or all the usual places.
And you can email us too, thesandwichclubpod@gmail.com.
We'll meet you in the middle.
Here I am, stuck in the middle.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.